I hope y'all had a Merry Christmas. How many of y'all are ready for the new year, ready for 2019 to be gone, ready for 2020 to come in? I am. I had a great 2019, but I'm just looking for 2020 to be even better. I think it's going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to it. And I mean, the cool thing is you're here like not only like the last Sunday of the year, you're here the last Sunday of the decade. Like, you get like bonus points in heaven, you know, like if you like to golf, Jesus probably just moved your house over by a golf course. Well, there's probably not golf in heaven because I don't think there's any cussing in heaven. but anyway, I'm super pumped about this morning, about the opportunity. And Pastor Josh, I was asking, you know, when he asked me if I would preach, I said, is there anything in particular you want me to minister on? And he wanted to, you know, we were doing the faith series and then we transitioned into Christmas, and he wanted me to just kind of wrap up the faith series, and so that's what we're going to do this morning. And I'm going to talk about something. Normally when I preach, I like to preach about something that I've really experienced and that I'm really good at. This morning I'm going to preach to you about something that I used to be really good at, but lately I've struggled with it. And I'm not talking about tying my shoes or clapping. I want to talk to y'all this morning about having a positive confession. And not just any kind of positive confession, but a biblical confession. We don't need more people just walking around talking about the light that's on the inside of them and how awesome they are because the light that's on the inside. The only reason I'm awesome is because Jesus is in my heart and the Holy Ghost lives in me. So everything, when it comes to a positive confession, I'm not talking about, and I've got nothing against her. I've never met her. I hear she really likes me, but Oprah, I'm not talking about like Oprah stuff, you know, where, you know, you're a goddess. No, you ain't. You're human, you know, that kind of stuff. But I want to just get into this morning. We're going to just jump in. There's a verse that a lot of times when somebody preaches on this subject, they go to Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21. I'm going to read this out of four different translations. If you don't have your Bible with you, especially if you don't have all four translations, they'll be up on the screen behind me. But the first one is from the New King James Version. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. The New Living Translation says, the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. The next one is the Good News Translation. What you say can preserve life or destroy it. So you must accept the consequences of your words. And then the last one, this is from the Message. Words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. That's the thing is, our words carry so much power, but we're so flippant with them sometimes. Now, I can kind of understand the world being that way because maybe they just don't know any better. But as believers, how we're held to a standard of the way we speak, the words that come out of our mouths. I've seen believers, there are times that I believe that we're taking ownership of things without even realizing it. Like I've heard people say, my dad was one of them before he passed away. He's like, gosh, my asthma is really bad today. He's taking ownership. He said, no, this is my asthma. You can't have it. Well, I don't want it. But he has taken full on ownership. And one time I corrected him. I'm like, Dad, that's not your asthma. I said, the enemy put that asthma on you. Or the fact that you used to smoke, one of the two, maybe both. But we shouldn't be taking ownership of this kind of stuff. Like the doctors diagnosed me, gosh, it's probably been about 10 or 15 years ago now with what they call athlete-induced asthma or whatever the term is. I don't really know the term all that well because I don't claim it as mine. The enemy has tried to put that on me, but I'm speaking against that. The enemy's trying to put that on me, but, well, you know, it might be acting up, but I'm healed. So it's that kind of stuff. It's going to the Word of God and finding out what the Word says. Yes, the enemy might be trying to put asthma on me, but by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. I used to be lactose intolerant. I wasn't lactose intolerant until I was 28 years old. gone 27 years just fine. All of a sudden, I drink milk, and it was a rough situation. Yeah, no need for more details there. We'll just go with that. Rough situation. And I mean, I was going to doctors and all this kind of stuff. They couldn't figure out what was wrong. And then finally, I went to this woman, and he's like, "You're lactose intolerant." All right. I went off to Bible college shortly after that, and my golf coach, who's now the dean of the Bible school I went to, we were going to play in a golf tournament, and I started talking about being lactose intolerant. He said, stop claiming it as yours. And I was like, do what now? Because I hadn't really heard a whole lot of teaching on these lines before. And he's like, that's not yours. The enemy's trying to put that on you. And I was like, all right. And so I wouldn't tell people I'm lactose intolerant. Now, there are times, like, I do believe in medicine, and there were these pills, I called them my Lactard pills, that I would pop a Lactard pill but if I knew I was about to eat some ice cream or drink some milk or, you know, something along those lines. But I stopped saying I was lactose intolerant. And now, you can probably tell, I can eat all the ice cream I want, and I don't have to take a pill at all. And so the thing is we don't need to be just claiming these things that are on us. Just because, like, it might be a diagnosis from the doctor, I would rather go with this diagnosis and not have to take anything and not claim anything than to go by what the doctor says and be miserable. But before we jump too far into this confession thing, I feel like a lot of times we can learn a lot about a subject by learning what it isn't. So I want to just give you a couple things that confession isn't. Confession isn't a name it and claim it type of thing. And what I mean by that is, now I do mean it is a name it and claim it thing by the word. Like, if you can find a Bible promise in here, you know, like healing. The Bible says that healing is ours. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. So if I was healed, I am healed. So we can name that and claim that. But there's so many people, they want to just name and claim stuff for the sole purpose of having stuff. Like, I could stand up, I could starting today, I could start naming and claiming a Bugatti. How many people in here know what a Bugatti is? Okay. I didn't. I looked it up yesterday. As of yesterday, at about 3 o'clock when I was putting this part of the message together, the Bugatti, one Bugatti in particular, it was the most expensive car in the world. $19 million. That thing better have like almost $19 million in the glove box for me to buy. $19 million. It looked like the Batmobile a little bit, and I guess maybe that's why it was so expensive. I don't know. But I could stand up here and start claiming, I've got a Bugatti. I've got a Bugatti. I'm going to come rolling up to the warehouse in my Bugatti. You know, that's what I'm going to do. My Bugatti. I couldn't even afford the insurance on a Bugatti. And Lord knows how much it costs to get fixed. Or an oil change, if they even put oil in them. Who knows? They must run gold through that bad boy. But I couldn't afford the insurance on a Bugatti or to get it fixed or anything. So, like, I don't see a verse in here where it says, thou shalt have a Bugatti. So what we're doing is we're looking in the Word for what the Bible says about us, the promises of God. And that's what we're naming and claiming. We're not naming and claiming a bunch of stuff. Now, I don't think that God's against stuff, like, but we shouldn't be more concerned about stuff than we are about the promises of God for our life. And we definitely shouldn't be more concerned about stuff than we are about leading somebody else to Jesus. That's what it comes down to. And another thing that confession isn't. Confession isn't claiming a spouse. Now, I believe in believing for a spouse. God, you know, I thank you that you've got my wife out there and that kind of stuff. But confession isn't claiming a spouse like, there's not a woman sitting here, so don't tell my wife because I don't want her to punch me between services. But, ooh, she's pretty. I claim her. Shut up. That's stupid. And especially claiming somebody else's spouse. I mean, if anybody starts claiming Kelly, I will punch you in the tooth. Like, straight up. Like, it's not about claiming somebody, because that somebody has a free will too. I had a girl tell me one time, we were kind of, when I was in college, and we were kind of talking, like thinking about dating, and she told me, God said, you're going to be my husband. My God didn't say that. We've been on one date. If God said that to you, he can tell me too. God told me to run. And I ran. I was obedient. Thank God I was obedient. Something else that confession isn't. Confession isn't confessing out loud around other people so that they'll give you what you're believing for. Taylor, come here for a second. I would have come down there, but Pastor Jeremy told me not to come off the stage. Apparently this one's being televised. Or not televised, but broadcast, whatever. So this is Taylor, if you don't know him. Taylor's a nice guy. Are you a Carolina fan or a Duke fan?
Duke.
Okay, get off the stage.
Is there any other team?
Oh, there's a much better team you'll receive. But anyway, this confession isn't this. Lord, you know I got bills. And you know I don't have a whole lot of money. But Lord, I know that you'll use people to pay for bills and take them to Wings to Go because that's their favorite place to eat for lunch. Or Golden Corral. I know you really love Golden Corral.
I do.
This is the one person that keeps Golden Corral in business. Okay, maybe there's two people. But that's thank you, Taylor. And Tar Heels in Jesus' name. But that's not what confession is either. And the reason why I say this is I've seen people do this. I've had people do this around me before. Where when I was in Bible college, there's this guy. Oh, he was sitting in class. Lord, I'm struggling on my tuition payment. Lord, I'm believing God that somebody's going to bless me with my tuition payment. And you can see him kind of looking around. And I'd be daggone if I didn't pay his tuition. And I was thinking, you know, God's using me to bless him. No, that guy talked me into paying his tuition by making me feel guilty. That's not confession either. Now, I'm fine with somebody blessing me, but I would rather be believing for something. And I'm going to share a story about it here in just a second. I would rather be believing God for something that nobody knows about, and then they bless me with it. And then I'm like, that's what I'm talking about, because that's straight up God. I had this experience when I was in Bible college. I was a single guy. I had been living with two other guys. We had this big apartment, you know, with three different bedrooms and stuff. And I moved out by myself, but I didn't have a vacuum cleaner. And I just didn't want my apartment to be nasty. Not that I had a lot of people coming over anyway, but I just didn't want a nasty apartment. And I wasn't making a whole lot of money at the time. Really little money. So I didn't have a whole lot of extra money just lying around just to go do. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to start believing God for a vacuum cleaner. And I didn't tell anybody about it because I knew if I told my parents, like, they'd have one Amazon the next day. I'd have a vacuum cleaner sitting on my front porch. But I didn't want to tell anybody. I was like, I'm not telling anybody that I want a vacuum cleaner. And on my way to work, I passed by a vacuum cleaner. I don't know if it was a repair place or they sold them or both or whatever. But every time I'd ride by there, God, I thank you that somebody's going to bless me with a vacuum cleaner. God, I thank you that somebody's going to bless me with a vacuum cleaner. And I'd say within a month, I got a call from somebody out of the blue. It's like, hey, we just got a new vacuum cleaner. Would you like ours? And I'm like, yeah, I think I would. And I hung up, and man, I was so excited. And I mean, I know it's just a vacuum cleaner. And I shared that testimony in my Sunday school class like the following Sunday, and people just laughed. Like, oh, wow, you got a vacuum cleaner. Like, that was a big deal to me. Because I believed God for something very specific. I didn't believe God for money to get a vacuum cleaner. Because, you know, somebody every now and then somebody might just come up and hand you money or something like that. And, you know, God told me to give you this money. Now, if they just said, God told me to give you this money to go buy a vacuum cleaner, then, oh, yes. But this was something very specific that I believed for. It wasn't a Bugatti. It was a vacuum cleaner. It was a need. It wasn't like a want. It wasn't something that, oh man, that would be super nice to have. Like it was a need. It was something that I needed to keep my apartment clean. So I was just really, really pumped about that. And so that's the thing. When you're if you're believing God for something, don't just walk around confessing it in front of people, hoping that, well, maybe God will speak to them. God can speak to them without you having to say it loud enough for them to hear what you're believing for. Because this gives you a chance to build up your faith, because your confession and your believing are tied together. We're going to see that in a couple of verses that I'm going to share a little bit later, but your confessing and your believing are tied together. Now, another thing that confession isn't is lying or denying facts. Because we've all heard Pastor Josh say that that when he was growing up, he wanted to play in the NBA. That was his dream. And we were texting yesterday, and a lot of us had that dream because we watched the greatest of all time, Michael Jordan, growing up. I remember I used to practice that between the legs dribble, then the step to the side and the jumper over Larry Bird. Like, I could do that all day long until the game started, and then it was like throwing it over the backboard or whatever. But so Pastor Josh wanted to be in the NBA. But he could have started confessing, you know, I'm 6'9" and I could dunk on a 15-foot hoop. I haven't seen that verse yet. Maybe it's in here. Pastor Josh is smarter than I am, so if you know that verse, let me know. But like, I went to the doctor a few weeks ago because I'd been coughing for months. I mean, I couldn't stop. I was keeping Kelly awake. I actually started sleeping on the couch because I was coughing so much during the night. I wasn't sleeping. I was miserable. And then Kelly finally said, you just need to go to the doctor. And it got really bad on a weekend. I ended up going to urgent care. So I go and I sit down, and the doctor walks in. Hey, you know, what's wrong? What's going on? I'm not going to have this. Oh, no, I'm the healed of the Lord. I'm fine. All right. Well, we got your money. Go ahead and leave. You know, like, what? There's no sense in lying about things. Now, I still know that I'm healed, but I also know that God invented all the, made everything. He made all the things that they use to put medicines together. He gave the doctors the wisdom that they have to be able to help cure things. Now, I'm fine if God would have been like, boom, you're healed right there. They diagnosed me with pneumonia, put me on prednisone, and I ate everything in the house. I ate everything within a 5-house radius of our house because that's what prednisone does to me. But I didn't walk in there and just start lying. Like, nope, I'm healed. I'm fine. Well, then why did you come to the doctor? You know, there's something that I am believing for. Not a whole lot of people know this, but I am believing that I'm going to have two arms before I go to heaven. All right. Got real quiet in this Presbyterian church, but still, I believe on this side of heaven that I'm going to have two arms. And the reason why I believe that is there are verses in the Bible. There's a man with a shriveled hand, and his hand, you know, was restored as whole as the other. Anytime where you read a verse in the Bible, you're not going to see it as much in like the New Living Translations, the NIV, that kind of stuff, the newer translations. But the ones that are closer to the original, like the New King James, stuff like that, they use the word maimed, M-A-I-M-E-D. And that word, one of the definitions of that word is those without a limb. If Jesus healed those without a limb back then, amen. And Jesus Christ, if I remember correctly, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means that if he healed those missing a limb yesterday, he'll heal those with a limb today, missing a limb today. So you don't have to believe it if you want to. I don't care. I'm not asking you to believe for it. But if y'all want to step on board, talk to me afterwards. We'll line up. Because the thing is, there are situations where, you know, I understand when you have a situation going on, you're like, gosh, I just don't feel good. That's fine. I don't feel good, but I know I'm healed. I don't feel good, but I know I'm healed. I don't feel good, but I know I'm healed. Because the thing is we can speak God's word because circumstances are subject to change. God's word isn't. We have God's word on healing, on finances, on bondage. We have God's word on so many things. So we take his word, we apply it to our situation, we apply his unchanging word to our changing circumstances, and we watch our circumstances change by the confession of our mouth, by the words that we speak. Let's look over at Mark chapter 11, verse 22 and 23. This is going to be up on the screen for you. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,'" God bless you, "and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." Now there's a, I'm asked James to leave this verse up because we're going to touch on it in quite a few areas. But the first thing I want you to know is the way our believing and our confessing are tied together. You can see it right there where it says, "But believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." You notice it doesn't say, "But believes that those things which he thinks will be done, he will have whatever he thinks." Believes that he thinks that those things that he hopes will be done, he will have whatever he hopes. That's not what it says. Believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Our confession is so important. And look at it. Notice that it says to the mountain. Notice it doesn't say whoever says about this mountain. There are too many times that what we're confessing is about our mountain, and we're not confessing to our mountain. We're confessing how sick we are instead of telling our mountain that we're the healed of God. We're too busy talking about how broke we are instead of talking about how God has blessed us. We're too busy talking about how we're bound up, how we're bound in sin or addiction or something, instead of talking about the freedom that we have in Jesus. That is, to me, that is the key part of this verse. It's talking about we speak to our mountain, not about it. If we would stop walking around telling people how bad we felt all the time, maybe we wouldn't feel so bad all the time. Another part of that verse that might throw you off a little bit. Notice that it says to the mountain, not to God. God has already given us all the ammunition we need to take care of that mountain. Hey, God, take care of this mountain for me. God's like, "I already did. Talk to it. Hey, God, I'm sick." God's like, "Hey, God, I'm broke. God, I'm bound. God, I can't do this. And then another little point I want to make right here. Notice that the Bible says right there at the end of that verse, he will have whatever he says. You notice it doesn't say he will have whatever Pastor Josh says. If I'm believing for healing in my body, I'm not going to have what Pastor Josh says. I'm not going to have what Ethan says. I'm not going to have what Pastor Philip says. I'm going to have what I say. Now, don't get me wrong. This is talking about our confession. Now, I can link up with Pastor Josh, and I can link up with Pastor Philip, and I can link up with Ethan and come together and pray and have that unity in prayer and that agreement in prayer and believe that that situation is going to change. But I don't have what Pastor Josh says about my situation. Because how jacked up would that be that, let's say you're healthy and you're whole and you're doing great, and I come up to Pastor Philip and be like, "Pastor Philip, you got the flu." Pastor Philip's like, "I don't want it." "Nope, I said it. You got the flu. Give me some money, pay my bills, take me to Wings to Go, I'll take it back off of you." Pastor Philip will have what he says. Pastor Josh will have what he says. Ethan will have what he says. And I'll have what I say. So what are we saying? Have you ever looked, and this is why I told you, I used to be really good at this. I used, the whole being lactose intolerant, I was lactose intolerant for maybe 5 or 6 years. It took me a little while before it finally clicked. I'm like, I'm not telling anybody I'm lactose intolerant anymore. I can take a pill without anybody seeing, but I'm not confessing that I'm lactose intolerant anymore. And I'm no longer lactose intolerant. But with all this sickness that came on me, I was sick for almost 2 months. And I thought about it afterwards, and I'm like, all I talked about was how bad I felt. When I would talk to Kelly, I feel rough. I'm tired of coughing. I'm tired. I'm not sleeping. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of this. Instead of saying, thank God I'm healed. Yes, I didn't sleep good last night, but thank God I'm healed, and I'll sleep good tonight. Or thank God I'll stop coughing. Thank God I'm healed. Like the Bible says that by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. But I wasn't doing that. So that's where, I want my confession to change as I go into 2020. Pastor Katie came up here this morning, when we were talking to the volunteers and stuff, and was talking about having that intimacy with God, that being a New Year's resolution. What would be a better thing than to draw closer to God in the new year? So she said she was hearing the word intimacy, and I'm hearing the word growth. And I think those go hand in hand. Intimacy and growth. And we're going to do that by getting into the Word of God, because you can't have a positive biblical confession over your situation if you don't know what the Bible says about your situation. So that's why we've got to get in the Word. There's another verse, and Ethan, I'll need you here in just a second. Hebrews 11:3. It says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. God built our world with the words that He spoke. Let there be light. And light was. Let there be ground. Let there be animals, all, trees, all this stuff. God said He built all of this with the words that He spoke. He built our world with His words. But the thing is we build our world with our words as well. This is something that we're starting to build a foundation, and we're talking. God, I'm sick. I'm so sick. I'm tired of being sick. I've been coughing for 2 months. I feel terrible, and I want to go to the doctor, but I'm too broke. I can't afford the copay. Why is my life so... Why do I always just feel so bad? I never have any money that I can go out and do stuff. This is just terrible. And I've got all these sins in my life that I just can't get rid of. I'm addicted to pornography. I can't stop eating. God, I'm addicted to alcohol. I'm just so bound up with all these things. God, why is my life like this? Why can't I get out of this? God, I know there's things You want me to do, but I can't do it. Amen. But that's the thing is, how many of our foundations look like this right now? We've talked so much trash. And I'm telling you, y'all, if y'all aren't getting anything out of this, I am, because I'm preaching to myself. Especially Ethan, if you hear me say this coming year, punch me. Just not real hard, but punch me. I'm really bad about calling myself an idiot. When I make a mistake, gosh, Jeff, you idiot. I didn't do an idiot block, but And I've done that my entire life. I mean, from a kid, if I've messed up, idiot. I'm not an idiot because the Bible tells me that I have the mind of Christ. So the thing is like, how many of y'all want to go into 2020 with this foundation built up underneath you? I'm sick. I'm broke. I'm bound. I can't. How many of y'all would rather go into 2020? You know what? I'm changing my confession. God, I thank you that I'm healed. God, I thank you that, yeah, I might not feel great right now, but I know that your word is more true than how my body feels right now. And God, there are missionaries all around the world, and I would really like to be able to support them. I don't need money for me, but I sure would like to be able to be a blessing to other people. So gosh, I don't even have to spend money on a copay anymore because I'm not sick. I'm blessed. Thank God I'm blessed. Yeah, I was bound, but you know what? 2020 is the year of intimacy and growth. I'm not bound anymore. I'm free. I'm not bound to alcohol. I don't have to have a glass of wine at night to be able to fall asleep. I don't have to have a beer when I go out with my buddies just because that's what they do. And you know, God, I know there's things you want me to do, and in the past I felt like, nah, that's not something that I can do, but the last time I read your word in Philippians 4:13, it said that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How many of y'all would rather walk into 2020 like this? You know what? I'm healed. I'm blessed. I'm free. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is the way to go into the new year. Stephen, if you want to bring the band up. But the thing is there is a precursor to all of these things. And you know how I said that our confession and our believing are linked together? Well, there was one other that I brought with me this morning. And this might apply to some of y'all in here. I can't stand up here, right? Okay. I just didn't want to go falling through something. I didn't want to have to get healed this morning. But you might be in here this morning and you can't claim this new foundation because you're still standing on this one. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that He was raised from the dead, we will be saved. That's when you go from being lost. To being found. You can't have these four without having this one. Let's say these are all in your house, but the house is locked. This is the key that unlocks the door to these and a lot of other blocks.